Thank you, Brandy. We celebrate this morning many things, and this morning KSBJ is here to help us celebrate you as a church body. For this week, you have been chosen to be Church of the Week. Why don't you just give yourself a hand? They will be presenting us a plaque this morning, I believe, and what we want you to do is sign up for your time to take it home, put it on your mantle, and take a picture with it, and then bring it back the next service. Would you welcome all of those that are with the KSBJ team to the platform now as they come?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I know I look taller than I sound, don't I? Gosh, you know what? Jesus is alive in Dominion Church.
Amen.
You know? I've just been overwhelmed by the praise and worship while we've been here. And when I get home, I'm going to tell my wife we're moving to League City. do you want to say anything? No, okay. This is Kathy Stone.
Just want to say hello. I actually work in the back office at KSBJ. I'm the donor relations coordinator. So if any of you support the station, I probably see your gifts and I track those. And we thank you so very much because we couldn't do what we do without your support. But it's not about us today. We're here because it's all about you today. You're our Church of the Week. I don't know if Diane Glidden is here today or not, but I understand she's one of those that nominated the church.
She's so, right back here in the media center.
Well,
this is Diane Glidden.
Thank you so much. So we just want to honor you. We are just excited and full of joy to honor you this week. You should be proud of where God has brought you through the years. We went and have heard about a lot of your history today, and it's wonderful to see God growing his kingdom with people like you, and it's just awesome what he's doing, and I know he's going to continue to bless the work that you do here, and we thank you.
Yeah, I would like to thank Tom for letting me in the front door this morning. I was here before the rooster crowed. So was Tom. And I want to thank Tamara. Tamara, she told us everything about the church. Everything. Even how much you weighed when you were born. I mean, she was thorough. So anyway.
That'd be better than how much I weigh now, so just keep on going. Yeah.
I was going to just mention a little bit about KSBJ. How many have listened to KSBJ for a number of years?
And more important than that, God listens.
God listens. No, the station that reminds you.
God listens.
There you go. No, KSBJ, we're celebrating 25 years this year of music and ministry. 25 years.
Wow.
And God is good. We now go around the world on the World Wide Web. And I was going to say, Pastor, don't worry about stumbling over your words. All you have to do is tune in after midnight. You'll hear a whole new vocabulary. So I've said some strange things overnight. 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes I don't even remember what I'm saying. So, KSBJ, 25 years of music and ministry. We also just had a great share-a-thon. Above and beyond, as always, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And God just has his hand on the ministry of KSBJ, and we continue to go forth and do his will. We ask that you continue to pray for the ministry, that we would continue the outreach. But most importantly, what I'd like to do right now is thank you guys for inviting us here this day. You have a wonderful church, wonderful church. Mm. And more than that, you have a wonderful pastor.
Thank you.
Got a chance to spend a little bit of time with Pastor back in his room back there. And not only does he have a heart for God, but he has a heart for you people. He really does. He loves you guys. So you need to pray for him daily, encourage him. You can't imagine what pastors go through. I hear from a lot of pastors. So they need your prayers. They need to be lifted up and encouraged. So I would just challenge you to do that. Whenever you see him, give him a big hug. I do it to my pastor. I pick him up, throw him over my shoulder, and spin him around. He said, you know, Dwayne, once is enough. We don't have to do this every Sunday. So, anyway, So, okay. Okay. All right. Now the best part of all. On behalf of KSBJ staff and management, and even all of our listeners, we want to proclaim this Church of the Week and this award to Dominion Church.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much. And your name was Kathy? Nice to meet you, Kathy. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for the nice plaque. Thank you for the opportunity to actually be on the airwaves most of this week. I believe even as we speak, or actually as we've been here, starting at about 11 o'clock, I think the message that was taped that I preached earlier in the week has been released for the public. And while we're here and celebrating this moment, I know that you mean many things to our community, and we appreciate the partnership that we share. We want to take a moment and be a part of the running over. We want to take a moment and let you know about something that we've been compelled to do from the heart of our church, and our outreach directors, Daryl and Sandra Wittenberg, are going to kind of come and explain what that looks like. And we would like to do something and be a part of what you're doing.
I have a special, well, probably not special. Everyone's got their own reason for listening to KSBJ. But when we first moved here, we left, we're kind of doing that, God, why here? It's hot. And it's still hot, by the way, and I'm still wanting God to answer why here. But the saving grace of moving here and knowing no one was turning on the radio and hearing God praised the same way that we were used to hearing him praised where we were from. And it kind of gives you that paradigm that you realize, you know what, he's not just in Missouri. It's shocking, but, you know, he is in Houston. And thank you guys so much for making a move that was very difficult for our family, very easy, to be honest with you, because it got us through several loving conversations with the children in the car. speaking of children, and not my own, I'll shut up, Shelby. But, you know, how many of you guys remember that first day of school? You were excited because, you know, if you were like me, man, the slate was clean. Everybody had a 4-0 on the first day of school. You know what I'm saying? Straight A's. First day. It was different on the second day. But every day on the first day of school, everybody had a 4-0. And you got to walk in there with your brand new lunch pail or, well, okay, ice chest. And you got to go into school excited because you had, man, you were excited about paper and pencils. The only day of the whole year you'd be excited about paper and pencils was on the first day of school. And if you were, I'm real old. I remember when Trapper Keepers came out. You were really cool if you had a Trapper Keeper. Anybody have a Trapper Keeper? Yeah. Yeah, going, yeah. Anyhow, I didn't have one.
Did you have a Big Chief notebook?
Yeah, I did.
Let's hear it for Big Chief.
I had the Big Chief tablet and the Chubby pencil till I was in 12th grade. But anyhow, yes, my wife's telling me to get this done. You see, not everybody gets to feel that excitement. Not everybody gets a brand new Big Chief tablet. Not everybody has brand new red and blue shiny Chubby pencils, okay? Because when school starts, it's hard enough to get clothes for kids that have grown over the summer. It's hard enough to walk into that school excited whenever maybe you don't have a new pair of sneakers on and everybody else going to be wearing their best. We want kids to be able to go into those schools, go into those classrooms, extremely well-equipped and very proud of what they're carrying in with them so that they walk in with their head held high and they are ready for a year of school. And I think teachers, I've never been one, and most children are very lucky for that fact, but I can imagine that children, thank you, Tim, are very... that there's a difference whenever they walk in well-prepared and they're excited about school. And we want to help them walk in with that attitude. And thank you, KSBJ, for taking leadership on in this area and this vital type of outreach. We're going to partner with them. It is our goal as Dominion Church to sponsor 100 backpacks. And basically a backpack is this. You're going to go to a store that sells school supplies, and they're going to be on sale right now, almost giving it away. And there's a list out in the foyer on the table there that gives you a list of everything that you need to put in the backpack. You pick up the backpack, and you stuff it full of this stuff, and we bring it back here on the 19th of August. Everybody say the 19th of August.
19th of August.
Okay. But that's Backpack Sunday.
Backpack Sunday.
See? She actually said so.
It's Backpack Sunday.
It's Backpack Sunday.
What is it?
Backpack Sunday.
On the
what
ninth-
day?
We're going to bring all these backpacks here to the church. We're going to take them up during that time of the service. We're going to lay them up here in the front. And we're going to pray over, not the backpacks, but we're going to pray over the kids that are going to receive those mm-hmm. backpacks. We don't know the homes that they're going to. We don't know what those kids live in. They might have a great mom and dad that just right now can't afford to buy the school supplies, or they may not have a great mom and dad. And they need the light of the gospel. And this is one way for us to be salt and light and to partner with KSBJ. And then we're going to bring our kids up here, and we're going to pray over them, because I know that they don't have great moms and dads for the most part.
Golly.
So,
and this concludes our Backpack Sunday announcement. Yeah.
Anyhow, on August 19th, we want you to bring those backpacks in here and help us to celebrate the start of a great school year.
Thank you, Daryl and Sandra. Sandra, was there one other thing that you wanted to remind us of?
If you all decide that you want to sponsor a backpack, there's a table in the foyer. Just sign up. And as if you want to sponsor one, two, however many backpacks you want to do, and there is a backpack board back there. And as you guys sponsor backpacks, we'll put a little star on there and keep a running total of how many we've got sponsored.
You know, sometimes when we get our kids ready, we ourselves are facing some of the same challenges. And so maybe some of us won't be able to do a whole backpack. And so whatever you're able to do, if you'd like to just leave an offering there, it will go a long way towards helping someone else back their pack and pack their back and go back to school. All right, that'll do it. God bless you. Have a wonderful morning. In these closing moments, I'd like to take the next 1 hour and 67 minutes to just talk with you. This is a special morning for us. It's been, for many, a trying season, and yet you can feel the release in the middle of that trying and testing. You can feel that release of peace and resting. That's why we laugh just a little bit longer and just a little bit louder. That's why jokes that you would normally never laugh at seem just a little bit funnier this morning, because great peace have come to the hearts of many about their situations. For some, you have been healed and set free of that burden that you've been carrying. For others, you're continuing to walk out your healing, and God has given you strength and peace and divine resource to keep walking today by faith and not by sight. And today, as KSBJ is here, I think it's just very timely. I think God's timing and God's servants have created a great opportunity for the body of Christ. And so we're going to encourage each of you to go to our homepage. How many of you have been to the homepage recently and noticed that there has been an extreme addition home makeover of our homepage? This should look familiar to most of you, but maybe not all of you. It's a place of faith, this church. It's a place of hope. It's also a place of healing. And what makes all of that so very special, what makes the faith and the hope and the healing so special, is it's just not our own, it's His, but it's for you. And so this week we want you to make sure that you go and visit the new homepage, and make sure that you go and visit the homepage of KSBJ. Call and give them words of encouragement. Send them emails and thank them for the influence that they have been to our city, and thank them for the untold hours of sacrifice that they themselves have put forth in advancing the kingdom of God. And with that note, I'd like for you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to leave you here at Isaiah chapter 58, and in just a few moments, I'm going to join you. But I want you to start with me this morning by waiting on me at Isaiah chapter 58. It's a powerful passage of Scripture, for in this passage of Scripture, we find that God is using His prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah is writing and teaching us the kind of fasting that God chooses and the kind of thing that God puts a premium on. And in this, we find what moves the hand of God. As you're journeying to Isaiah chapter 58, I just want to say that our youth pastors are gone this morning, and they're gone to San Antonio, and they are taking a well-deserved time of rest. And while they're gone on vacation, I'd like to encourage you to visit your email and send them an email and thank them for what they mean to us and what they mean to you. And if you'd like to pick up a Starbucks gift card, Pastor Clint said there's not anything that says we love you like a Starbucks card. Spoken well by Pastor Clint. Well, this morning, we are leaving the city of regret. You're at Isaiah chapter 58. I'm at the city of regret. And here's what I'd like to read to you. It's entitled, Leaving the City of Regret. It says, I had not really planned on taking a trip this time of year, and yet I found myself packing rather hurriedly. This trip was going to be unpleasant, and I knew in advance that no real good would come of it. I'm talking about my annual trip called the Guilt Trip. I got tickets to fly there on Wish I Had Airlines. It was an extremely short flight. I got my baggage, which I could not check. I chose to carry it myself all the way there. It was weighted down. It was weighted down with 1,000 memories of what might have been. No one greeted me as I entered the terminal to the Regret City International Airport. I say international because people from all over the world come to this dismal town. As I checked into the Last Resort Hotel, I noticed that they would be hosting the year's most important event, and that event was the annual pity party. I wasn't going to miss this great social occasion. Many of the town's leading citizens would be there. First, there would be the Dunn family. You know, should've, would've, and could've. Then came the I Had family. You probably know old Wish and his clan. Of course, the opportunities would be present, for they were missed and lost. The biggest family would be the Yesterdays. There are far too many of them to count, but each one of them would have a very sad story to share. I'm sorry, this is putting you to sleep. Well, to make a long story short, shattered dreams would make their appearance. And it's all their fault, would regale us with stories, excuses about how things had failed in his life. And each story would be loudly applauded by, don't blame me, and I couldn't help it. Well, to make a long story short, I went to this depressing party knowing that there would be no real benefit in doing so. And as usual, I became very depressed. But as I thought about all of the stories of failures brought back from the past, it occurred to me that all of this trip and subsequent pity party could have been canceled. It could have been canceled by me. I started to truly realize that I did not have to be here and that I did not have to be there. I didn't have to be depressed. One thing kept going through my mind. I can't change yesterday, but I do have the power to make today a wonderful, or in the Greek, a wonderfur day. I can be happy. I can be joyous, fulfilled, encouraged, as well as I can encourage others. Knowing this, I left the city of regret immediately, and I left no forwarding address. Am I sorry about the mistakes I've made in the past? Well, yes, I truly am. But there really is no physical way to undo them. And so my words to you this morning is, if you're planning a trip back to the city of regret, please cancel all of your reservations now. Operators are standing by. Instead, take a trip to a place called Starting Again. I liked it so much that I have now taken up permanent residence there. My neighbors, the I Forgive Myselves, and the New Starts are so very helpful. By the way, you don't have to carry around heavy baggage here because the load is lifted from your shoulders upon arrival. God bless you in finding this great new town. If you can find it, you can find it in your heart, because it's in your heart, and it's there in your heart that I encourage you to please look up. And look me up while you're there, because I live on I Can Do It Street. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I have a good feeling about you. You can do it! Isaiah chapter 58 is where you are. I'm living proof that you can leave the city of regret. And while I'm leaving, I want to bring back to your attention one of the verses that served as the guiding light, so to speak, of this week. Joel tells us in chapter 2, beginning in verse 12, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me. Turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people together. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?" Lord, this morning, let each of our heart be, here is our God. And Lord, as we bow our hearts and as we bow our heads, that is our prayer. Let each of us use this week to instill in our lives the disciplines of daily turning to you with all of our heart. That our life would be a lifestyle of fasting, weeping, and mourning. Of rending our hearts and returning to you each and every day. That each of our lives might be filled with grace and mercy. That each of us would experience your great kindness. And that, God, you would turn and this day leave in the path of our lives a blessing that would say to everyone around us, here is their God. Here is their help. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're at Isaiah chapter 58, and I've ran as fast as I could to get there. And as you are directing your attention to this passage of Scripture, I want you to look for verse 6. Because it's here in this chapter that the Lord is clarifying the meaning of true fasting for Israel. You see, their fasting had become a time of self-righteousness. It was a time of oppressing the poor. When they would come together as a congregation and call a solemn assembly, it was not a time of pure and worshipful joy. Instead, fasting for them had become a time of debate, a time of strife, contention, and confusion. It's here that God speaks to the prophet and the writer Isaiah. And he said, I want you to lift up your voice loudly. I want everyone to hear your voice like a trumpet. Because in this sound, I want to teach my people their wrongdoing. And not just teach them and tell them of their wrongdoing, but I want to instruct them in how to get it right in their lives. I want to teach them through you a type of lifestyle, a type of living, a fasted life that pleases God. Verse 6 says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke. To set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. This kind of fasting that God is talking about here has very little to do with simply going without food. And it has everything to do with the kind of life and the kind of lifestyle that God pleases and that God blesses. It's the kind of fast that becomes for you and for me a lifetime of commitment. It's a lifestyle. It's not something that we choose to do for 3 or 4 days at a time. Or a week at a time when the church calls a solemn assembly and an annual fast. This is a kind of living. It's a lifestyle and it's a commitment that says, as a believer, I am committed to breaking the hold of wickedness in my life. And I will not continue to involve myself in the things of this world that have kept me bound. Now, I know some of you tried to sneak up on your amen, so I'm going to give you one more shot at saying amen. Some of you might be a little low. How many of you stopped at the dollar store and picked up some extra amens this morning on the way to church? Would you just pass them out to some of those that are silent around you? Because it's not that they don't believe it and have an amen. They're just out of amens. So let's try that again. The kind of fasting that God is talking about here is the kind that brings about a certain lifestyle and a commitment that says, I am breaking the hold of wickedness in my life, and I will not continue to involve myself in the things of this world that have kept me bound.
Amen.
I see some of you stopped. It means for you and for me some very practical steps, such as, I will turn off the television and turn on some teaching tapes. I will get off of the net and get on my knees. I will put down the newspaper and I will pick up the word. I will push away from the dinner table and I will pull up a chair at God's communion table. I will get out of the rut and get into the prayer hut until the sin in my life is burned out and once again I am totally 100% committed to God.
Amen.
Tom, I think the sound must not be working this morning. Let me try that again. This kind of lifestyle says, my freedom is not just for me, but once I get free, I'm going to get down on my hands and knees, and I'm going to continue to intercede for others so that they too can be free.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Do you know what a God kind of fast will really do for you? God isn't just parked here saying, these are the don'ts. He's saying, these are the do's. And when you do, the mountain, it moves the mountain. When you stand against the immovable mountain in your life, and you do the do's, and you get on your hands and knees until your heart and your life is all of God's again, then it begins to move that impossible mountain, that impossible thing in your life. And you come away from that moment being able to say to yourself, I am free. I'm not Martin Luther King, but thank God Almighty, I am free.
Amen.
There is liberty. There is freedom. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is freedom. And the freedom and the liberty of the Lord is now on the inside of me. And everything on the outside of me that has kept me trapped in Regret City has now been broken off, rendered useless. And now I have left the city of regret and I'm on my way to the city of Zion. And this is a day of blessing and this is a day of breakthrough. And watch me. You learn from me, because if you'll apply the same steps, you'll be free too.
Amen.
Verse 6 says, this kind of fast will loosen the bands of wickedness. It will undo the heavy burdens in your life, and it will let the oppressed go free, and it will break every yoke but yours. Because what you're going through and what you're carrying is on back order. That day 2,000 years ago when Christ was on the cross, he looked at everyone and said to them, they are free but you. And he said from the cross that day, gee, I don't know. Your situation is different. No one has ever been in the place you are. No one has ever felt the pain you've had. Nobody's ever walked through the valley of the shadow of what you're walking through. And gee, I just don't know. Now, how many of you found that's what the enemy likes to say? Likes to whisper in your ears. Aren't you glad that 2,000 years ago, he lived a lifestyle of commitment? It was the fasted life that got on the cross. It was a life that said, I might be in this world, but I am really out of this world. I am not of this world. And I, as the Savior of mankind, have set aside all wickedness, all principalities, all powers, all things that are dark, that were and are to come. And I will stand on this cross, and by the power of my name, I will loosen every band of wickedness. I will undo every heavy burden. I will look at the oppressed, and I will set them free. Aren't you glad that 2,000 years ago, he called roll, and he said to each and every yoke of oppression, in Jesus' name, I bind you and break you. In Jesus' name, I bind and break you. And aren't you glad that 2,000 years ago, he looked into the heart of your life, and he knew where you would be in this season of your life, and he knew that if you would come to him, you would see that he had already provided for you. Some of us this week went from looking for our blessing to realizing that our blessing is looking for us. In verse 6, it says it will undo the heavy burdens. For those of you that write more in the Bible than God did, I want you to circle the word undo. It comes from a primitive Hebrew root word, which means to jump. It means to be violently agitated, to terrify, to shake off, to untie. What this is saying is that the Lord has set an ambush against those burdens that have been ambushing you. That when you begin to pray and fast and seek first the kingdom of God, it causes His power to jump your enemy, to violently agitate and terrify the heavy burdens in your life until they come off and you go free. It wasn't just the Pointer Sisters that taught us to jump. It wasn't just Van Halen. It was Jesus Christ that says, I, in my presence and in my power and my authority, have already ambushed your enemy. Notice here in verse 7 that it says this kind of fast, it brings about unity. Ever been to church before? Shout unity three times.
Unity.
Now ask your neighbor if that's a thought. Go to a church that has unity. There's a new thought for you. But that's what this kind of life does. This kind of fasting brings about unity, a sharing of resource, and reconciliation. A young lady walked up to me and she said, I have got to tell you this testimony. And I said, well, sure. She said, I was here for the night that they taught on finances. And I came down for prayer because, Pastor, we were a certain amount past due in our bills. I knew exactly what that amount was for. It was like $499 and some pennies. But I mean, we were in trouble. And really more than prayer, I needed God to show me the money. I needed to see something in the natural. I had no longer that I could wait. I needed to see God, and I needed to see God now. I went to the altar, and as I stood before the person that I thought was going to pray for me, I just held my hands out, and the Holy Spirit began to speak and say, your hands are faced in the wrong direction. I turned my hands over, and that individual said that they'd been impressed to give us a sum of money. And so they put a check in our hands, and then they prayed for us. And like most Spirit-filled believers that have a great deal of faith, I walked back to my chair and acted like I wasn't looking. But I put it to my side and I kind of opened it with one hand. And there was a check made out to me and my husband for $500. Does God have a sense of humor? And I think the only thing that bothers me about that story is that I was not that man. Oh, you thought I was talking about the one receiving. I was talking about being on the... Oh, we all want to be on the... But how many of us have the courage in our faith to be on the... So I want to test that, and I want everybody to just get something that you can give to me, and then I'm going to want you to just bring it down, and I want to see if I can receive and see if you'll be faithful to give. Now, verse 7 says that this kind of fast brings about unity, a divine release of sharing of resource, and reconciliation. That during this time of fasting, we as a body are to provide for each other, for the hungry. We're to provide shelter for the poor and clothing for the naked. That we're to share mercy and grace with each other in such a way that flesh and blood, that relationships can turn towards each other again for the purpose of reconciliation. My mom practiced this, and it drove me crazy. My mom lived a fasted lifestyle. And I can remember when my mom would fast. At the end of her fast, she would always go to the store, and she would go grocery shopping. And then she would take this bag of goodies, and she would either take it to the church for the food pantry, or she would take it to somebody in our neighborhood that was less fortunate. Now, it didn't make me mad that she fasted, and it didn't really even make me mad that she gave to others. It's just that when she gave to others, she was more generous to them than she was to us. And what that meant for us was, we continued to drink all of the generic soft drinks. Growing up in my house, we didn't have Coca-Cola. We had cola. It was an aluminum can that had a white label on it that said cola. And then it said artificially flavored. One sip of that and you're thinking, no duh. It could be a full can, but it had such a taste to it that it felt like you were drinking and licking from the bottom of the can. That's how artificial it was. And my mom was generous, though, with that artificially flavored generic cola. She would buy cola, orange, grape, black cherry, woo, limon lime. We were very French. And that's what we would drink. And then my mom would get cereal. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And she'd buy Cheerios, and they wouldn't leave you feeling Cheerio. And they would come in this big bag. And you could feed Houston with one of these big bags. We didn't get sugar smacks. We got something called something smacks. And so that's what she would feed us. But then when it came time to fast, and from that fasting give to the needs of people around us, she would go and buy things like not just Coca-Cola, but she would get Pepsi-Cola. And then she'd put the dagger through my heart, because then she would get cream soda. I'm finishing my last week of therapy for all of this, and I just want to let you know that things are better in me now. But I think my mom understood that fasting was more than just doing without food. It's what you do in that time of doing without that brings God into your equation. Friend, anytime you come up with a formula for living life and it doesn't include God, then your equation is wrong. And so often we do things in life without God. And rather than be obedient, we like to sacrifice. Rather than maybe, as we learned this week, give of my tithe, I'll make up for it with my time. And yet that's not what Scripture says. And so we find ourselves coming up with all of these formulas that are equations without God. And they don't equal God's provision for our daily living. Will you have one more amen? Say amen.
Amen.
Because verse 8 says, if you commit yourself to living life like this, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Notice it's not on back order. When will your healing come? Quickly. Shout quickly. How many of you are hoping that this sermon ends? Okay. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Amen. Remember, in Joel, people ask, where is your God? Now here's God taking the role. Here I am. And it'll be so close that if it was a snake, it would have bit us. Ever looked for your keys and they be lost? And you frantically look here, there, and everywhere, only to forget to look in your hands. That's what I mean. But I want to apply it like this. Sometimes you and I are here, there, and everywhere looking for our blessing, not realizing that the blesser was not just in our hands, but in our heart all along. And fasting and prayer drives us back to that place, and it's there that then he is seen, and he says, I'm here. Here I am. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then. Some of you are thinking, but if I stop doing that, what am I going to do with my time? It says, then, when you put all of that lifestyle aside, then your light will rise in the darkness. And your night will become like a noonday. And the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-gardened water. A well-watered garden. Like a spring whose waters never fail. You will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the old foundations. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, the restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then. See, there's not a magic bullet here. There's not a magic formula. If you'll just be obedient, then you will find your joy in the Lord. And it says here, the Lord will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Would you stand to your feet? For I believe from his word, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I just want to ask each and every one of you, do you hear what the mouth of the Lord has spoken for your life? Do you hear that his hand is not too short, and that his ear is not too heavy? Well, friend, this morning, some of you have been away from God. Some of you have not been right with God. Maybe for some of you, it's the first time. And maybe you've not been, for others, right with God since the last time you made things right. And friend, there's not anything greater in this world, not even the blessings of God that comes after a season of fasting. There's not anything greater in this world than a heart that's right with God. And today I'm not just speaking about anyone's heart. Friend, I'm talking to you. What about your heart? Is it your heart that maybe bitterness and unforgiveness, jealousy and envy has crept into? Is it your heart that's filled with disobedience today? Do you have a hardened heart? Have you become a person that has blamed every bad thing in your life on God, and so you've run? Well, friend, you've run this morning to the right place. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to hear that the Lord is speaking, and he's saying to each of you whose hearts are not right with God that his hand is not too short and his ears are not deaf to your cries for making things right, for asking him into your heart and making him your Lord and Savior. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want each and every one of you to ask yourself the question, Where is my heart? And from that question, ask yourself, is God in my heart? Is God able to speak for himself and say from your heart, here am I? Or is God this morning standing so close to you that if he was a snake, it would bite you? And you're that person that this opportunity has been reserved for you to take this moment to turn back to him, to rend your heart, to confess your sins, and to make things right again with him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this first altar call is for those who've never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're here this morning and you have never made him your Lord and Savior. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to count to three. And with those heads bowed and those eyes closed, if you've never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to get your hand ready. You're going to feel his hand in just a moment because his hand is not too short. So I count to three and I ask, number one, are you the one? Doesn't matter about those around you, it just matters, are you the one who has never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? I've counted one and I count two now. And with that count of two, I ask, will you too join sinners just like yourself who have found the mercy and the grace of God's holy hand and God's holy heart? Will you too make this the defining moment in your life that will forever change where you've been and more importantly, where you're headed? I've counted one, I've counted two. You're getting your head ready. You're getting your hand ready. And when I say three, I want you to join this church family in making the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that before, get your hand ready. And on the count of three, put it up, hold it for just a moment, and then put it right back down. One, two, three. Put your hand up and put it right back down and hold it so I can see it. Make sure that you take this moment to give God the greatest gift you will ever give Him, and that is the gift of your life. We move to the second altar call, and that's a little bit more simple. And that is simply a call for you to give all of your life to Him. Are you the one, number one, that has been keeping things from Him? Are you two like others that are going to raise their hands, that have some surrendering to do so that they can move from suffering to surrendering? I've counted one, I've counted two, now three. Hands are already beating me to the punch. Put your hand up and put it right back down. There are places in your life, there are places in your heart. Yes, just put it up and put it right back down. Hands are beginning to go up all over, because today we're going to leave here with the greatest gift that we could ever have, and that is peace with God and His peace in us. A number of you have raised your hands, and we're going to join with you as a church family, and we're going to pray a prayer together that brings each of us back into unity and communion with God. Because this morning, it's been your praise and your prayers that have stopped God in His tracks. You have caused Him to turn. You have caused His hand to leave a blessing in your path. And this morning, the greatest blessing you'll ever receive is a heart right with the Heavenly Father. So would you please repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, it's my heart that has some areas that need to be surrendered. So here you go. Forgive me for what I've held in my hand and carried in my heart. Take this yoke, take this burden, and take it from me in Jesus' name, that my heart might be full of You, and that my hands might be available to help others. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me whole. In Jesus' name. Amen.